Hi and welcome to BBQ, the business of beer in Quebec. I'm your host, Leonardo Calcagno from Baron Mag. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the Canadian Beer Awards and Conference for the invite. Calgary was fun. We met tons of new suppliers and people from the industry. Of course, we went across Calgary and checked out all the breweries. Calgary, you guys kick ass. Great beer, great breweries. Hopefully I can go soon. So thank you very much again. Today we're going to be talking with Vera from the Lux Brewery, a brewery based in Montreal, a couple of minutes from the airport, Pierre-Le-Trudeau. And we're going to be talking about COVID-19, distribution, beer, their strategy, how they make their amazing porter, and much more. I just want to thank you again to everybody for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, BHG Canada. Thank you. BBQ, the Business of Beer in Quebec podcast, is brought to you by our friends at BSG Canada. We all know that the best brewing results come from the best ingredients. BSG Canada offers the largest diversity of quality ingredients to create outstanding beers. BSG brings the best malt, hops, and additives from around the world to your brew house. Their knowledgeable and dedicated staff comes from the brewing industry and can assist you in product consultation for your recipe formulation. Contact your dedicated sales rep or become a customer by calling at 1-800-234-8191 or by email at orders@bsgcanada.
Hi, I'm Vera. I'm from Lux Brewery. We're in Dorval. So I'm actually one of the co-owners, marketing director, and really I wear every hat. So I do everything over here. So as I mentioned, we're in Dorval. We're right next to the YUL airport. I'll let you guys know a bit of what we do, what kind of beers we have. So as mentioned, and of course, we're a craft, we're a microbrewery, we're very small. So we brew a lot of craft style beers, and we've recently launched a Lux Original line. So I'll let you guys know a bit about the Lux Original. Our Lux Original, we decided to create something that's a bit more of a go-to beer. So a beer that is easier to drink for everyone, that you grab a six-pack and it's affordable and you don't have to like worry about anything. So we decided to create a beer, and it's an Original Blonde. So for now, we have our Original Blonde released. We're also looking into releasing a classic IPA and a Mexican-style lager.
That's great.
So that's going to be a part of our Original lineup, just for it to be accessible. So that's the idea behind it, is for it to be very accessible to people. Right now, we're producing and packaging the Original Blonde weekly. Like, it's being packaged, produced, packaged, distributed. It's really like just going out the door, and we're working really hard to get it, to spread it around. And then we're sticking to our craft because it's really the origins of Lux. It's who we are. And we're still brewing our classic craft beers that we've done since day one, which we actually started 3 years ago.
Excellent. So thank you very much for the intro, Vera.
Of course.
By the way, guys, the porter that Lux has, it's a very great porter. I'm a big fan of your porter, so please keep going. It's very good.
Thank you.
What I was wondering, for somebody who doesn't know you, first time comes to your brewery, what kind of brewery are you?
So as I was mentioning, we are very small. So we're a small brewery that was started, as I was saying, 3 years ago. And if someone doesn't know us, they would come in and see how our beers are. The style is, we're bringing simplicity to craft.
Okay.
So all of our craft beer, even like part of the craft line, they're still very like easy to drink. So if someone doesn't know us, they would really come in here and just understand how we're very simple and we still have that craft touch to us. So it's really, that's the way we stand out compared to different breweries, is that the beers, our market, which helps us a lot, our market, it widens because a lot of people are able to drink our beers. Like you were mentioning, the porter, let's say it's a dark beer, usually like stouts and darker beers are hard to drink. Not everyone likes them, But then we give our porter humble brag. People really like it because
it is very good. It is very good.
It's an easy drinking beer. Like we bring the simplicity to it where you can have 3-4 of them and you don't feel not good. Like you still feel like, wow, it's a light, refreshing beer. So that's the concept behind Luke's. That's how we introduce ourselves when people come in.
So, you know, for people that don't know, but you were telling in the beginning, Luke's is besides the airport.
Yes.
So how do you sell a beer besides the airport? How do you market a beer like that? Because I remember the first time going to see you, I got lost. I have to tell you. I'm a guy who gets lost very fast, so that maybe doesn't count. But how do you market, a brewery that's beside an airport?
So it's honestly been a blessing for us being next to the airport because we get a lot of people from the airport. Mm-hmm. I'm talking now like pre-COVID days because now COVID, I feel like it ruined almost everything for people because the airport is slower and all that. But before that, it was very good because we had like a big crew of airport staff, flight attendants, mm-hmm. pilots, and we're in an industrial area, if you remember. So mm-hmm. It's really convenient because there's a lot of offices around us. So we'd get a lot of happy hour time. People would come and have a beer here. So we do have, for people that don't know our brewery, we have a small tap room. So it's very small. We fit around like 30 people. It's just to get people to come in and get a feel of us and get to see who we are. So we'd get like groups of people. They would reserve our tap room and they would come in and enjoy some beer. So that was a good way to market it. And then we also have down the street where people go and they can watch planes take off. So it's a little park and it's owned by the airport. They built this park where people can go sit down, they can have picnics. So we get a lot of people to come and get beers to go and walk to the park and enjoy beers there. So that's very local. And then to market outside of, let's say, Dorval, we really push through social media. Okay. Social media was our way to spread the word and get people to come here. But then our beer, we try to make it as accessible as possible. So if people don't want to drive here, hopefully they can find it around their houses.
Is your brewery, is your beer distributor across Quebec or is it mostly in Montreal or mostly in the Anglo section of Montreal?
So we do, we are open to around Quebec. Our main focus is the island.
Okay.
So we are focused on the island of Montreal because our brew system is small, so we don't brew as much because it's where we are right now in our development. So for us to want to be able to distribute all over Quebec, we wouldn't be able to keep up. So we really limited and we want to make sure that on the island of Montreal, we can spread it as much as we can. Like even, let's say, Laval, we haven't reached Laval.
I know. I'm in Laval. Right. We haven't received any of your beer, man. Sad.
It's very... we're hoping by next year. So we bought a new tank this year, like a few months ago, actually a few weeks ago. And it was really just to focus on our original line to get the blonde going. And it helped us a lot, but we're still just focusing on island because we really want to tap the full island of Montreal before we start spreading our wings elsewhere.
Excellent. The thing about your brewery, what I like about your strategy is like, you know, as a small brewer, a lot of brewers, when they do their brew, first of all, they will make sure to sell all their beer. I know that take the machines and let's sell as much beer as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys did a strategy of doing two kind of beers. One it's affordable and one it's a craft, you know, like the regular beers you have.
Yes.
It's a very gutsy move because, you know, like people don't do stuff like that. People go into like seltzers or, you know, gas water, whatever they want to call it. Mm-hmm. But why did you use that strategy? And I know there's a couple of brewers in Quebec doing that kind of a strategy. Is it because it was a way to fill that market that you thought that was there? Or was it something else?
So the reason behind it, so our craft lineup, we really have just craft beer in general. You have a niche market, right? It's not, you won't find like younger people, let's say, drinking it because it's a more expensive beer. You won't find, let's say, like the audience of my father, like older people, maybe in their like 60s and 70s, craft beer might be a bit too strong for them. So we wanted to tap into the market where everyone can drink it. You're still getting that microbrewery vibe and essence and flavor where it still has that bit of a twist to it, but it's still just an easy drinking beer. So that was the idea behind it. And then it only sells if it's not in-house, like at the brewery, we only sell it in 6-packs.
Okay.
And we wanted to be able to make it accessible to people where if you're going to, let's say, a barbecue or a party or something, you want a beer that everyone can enjoy. Everyone will enjoy a classic blonde. It's like a go-to style beer. It was a bit unknown when we started. We're like, are we doing the right move? Is it because it's a bit of a risk? And we did our market research first, spoke to some of the stores we're in. And to be honest, a lot of them told us we're crazy, that it's like not a market we want to tap into. And we followed our gut and we're like, okay, now let's do this. And we did it. And we've been having really, really, really good feedback because a lot of our like consumers and clients and stores that we're selling in now, they're telling us that a lot of people are picking it up because of the price point, right? You're finding a craft beer, a 6-pack that's at $11, which is unheard of. You can't find that. But then they're reading it and they're seeing it's local, so they get even more excited to drink it. And then they taste it and they're like, this is unbelievable. So we've been getting a lot of comments about that, how the price point is pushing people to purchase it. And then they drink it and they just go back to it because it's a good price. And they can't believe like other microbreweries around the city haven't done that yet.
So I know there's one Bois Blanc, I think, is doing that right now. So yes. They have their own affordable pricing like that. So how big is the growth of your market for that right now?
Pardon me?
How big is the growth of the affordable beer you have right now?
So right now we're brewing it weekly and we're packaging it every week. So we actually got our sales rep just to push this beer itself. So, and like, do you want to know like retailer wise or like,
yeah, I mean,
like
how much you, is there opening more markets for you? Are you guys selling so out the beer?
The batch is going out every week. It's the entire batch, but again, we're brewing in smaller, we brew small batches, right? The full batch, it's packaged and it's pushed out the same, like the next day. And we're getting, right now we're tapping at the new clients. It's been 2 months we've launched it.
Yeah.
And we already started getting our reorders, which is really, really great news, right? In 2 months, like clients are reordering and we're tapping into like stores that we were never in. So it's more like corner stores. So just like you find a corner store in the city and that you want to go buy, let's say chips, and then people would go in and buy like a Coors Light, let's say for instance, now they're finding a craft beer, which is not usually the store you'll find craft beer in. So we're tapping that market where you're being able to find a craft beer in any corner stores. So this right now is very much in the city. So we're tapping like the city stores. So for people that like can go walking distance to a Depanneur, they just pick up a 6-pack and they leave. Those are the stores we're tapping into right now. We haven't reached IGA or anything because we can't keep up. It's too much of a big order for us.
But do you think that people are asking IGAs and Loblaws, stuff like that, they're asking for that kind of beer?
So I go a lot in stores to see what they sell, right? It's like in our nature because it's the industry we're in. And I think that in the stores right now, like we're in a lot of IGAs and our craft lineup is doing great in IGAs.
Okay.
So for us, it's the, like, let's say for now, we're kind of separating it where the IGAs were just focusing on our craft line, because as a consumer of craft beer, you don't end up going to their big craft fridge and take four of the same brand, right? You just go and you grab and you mix and match. That's the beauty of craft, is that you get to do a beer tasting and you get to try different beers. And that's a bit of the clientele at IGAs and metros and grocery stores. So right now we're focusing really more on the little depths. And then eventually we'll tap into the market of the grocery stores. It's just the grocery stores right now, they have their mass produced beers and I think they're doing very well. So it's not where we want to go yet. Like right now, it's really our craft beer is pushing into the grocery stores.
Okay. You know, with the launch of the new, your new affordable beer, you know?
Yes.
And you see that there's a good reception out of it. Is there like a temptation to push the other beer more on the other beer? Or will you split the company in two to make sure that there's two different things?
So we haven't thought of splitting the company at all. I think it's just, it's helping us understand how there's like really two audiences. Mm-hmm. We're really now it's more of like a focus of having like a sales rep specifically for craft and then specifically for our original line. So that's what we're calling it. It's the original line and then our craft line.
Yeah.
We don't want to mix it. We don't want to mix it together because then it can get confusing. If someone doesn't really know us, they can get confused. But the strategy behind it really is for someone, if they do pick up our original line because of the price point, we're hoping that we can then introduce them to our craft, right? The idea is you want to then bring them to try the more crafty stuff, the more price, like higher in price stuff, the more flavorful stuff, because you'll find like our porter, you'll find a Japanese lager, you'll find different flavors in the beer. So we don't just make classics like a like basic beer. We have a lot of art put into our beer. So we want people to try that also. So it's a way to push them towards our craft line. So we want to keep it together.
So how do you market? I mean, how do you market that? I mean, you're the girl who takes care of the marketing and
yes,
all the things. How do you market the two different beers to make sure you get your different message, different brew? Because like you were saying, there's two mm-hmm. different markets there.
So right now, we got a lot of like advice from people in the industry. And when we started talking about releasing this, a lot of people did tell us like, start a full new brand.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to, as I was mentioning, we want to push people towards our craft. So right now, the way we're promoting it and marketing it and pushing it to clients is when you go to the store, we're really working on educating people. So okay, I think that's a very important thing in this industry and just in things in general is for people to be educated about it and kind of understand. So all of our stores, as much as we can, we're giving them like flyers and we have posters in the store that we're really pushing the logo. So we want to push the logo as much as possible because it's very recognizable. Like you see it on all of our cans and it's the main focus on all of our cans. So people that don't know our cans, it's just like a blank can with our logo in the front, right? So that's what we went for with the original. So just like a classic look with the logo in the front. So our way of marketing it and pushing it to our clientele is we're using really social media to advertise it and to just push it out there and then educating the store owners for them to educate their staff to know where to guide their clientele afterwards. So it's just about like word of mouth right now. It's still a new product. So we're still in like a phase of seeing where it's going and it's heading towards the right way. So maybe ask me in 6 months from now, we might have a different answer. But for now, it's just like word of mouth and educating people and pushing them towards it.
But I know it's a big temptation for a lot of brewers. I mean, to go to have another brand like that and to have other products
yes.
like that. Because I know there's a market for that. There's a huge market for that. I was talking to people saying that the craft beer in Quebec as an industry is not growing. It's steady mm-hmm. right now. And mm-hmm. People need to go and find new ways to go get new customers for that. So I think it's one of the pushes like that. But are you thinking about doing something else besides that? I know you guys are really busy already, but is it like a temptation to do something else besides like maybe like a seltzer or something like that?
So seltzers were actually is something that I'm a big drinker of. I truly enjoy seltzers.
Which one?
So to be honest, I try all of them.
Okay.
Like I know everyone says White Claw, like it's good, but I feel like I just, any I see, I pick up.
Okay.
I feel like it's kind of like the craft industry. You see one, you're like, oh, let me try this out and you pick it up. So I truly like seltzers. We were looking into brewing one. We brewed a few test batches to see how it goes. We joined like seminars and stuff to understand a bit more of the world of seltzers, which it's very, it's a very like simple craft. I think that for this season now, this summer, we're really going to focus on the original line, but we're hoping that it's something that we can dive into seltzers eventually. But I think it would be a completely, if we do work on a seltzer, it would be a different brand. Like for a seltzer, we would start a new brand. It wouldn't be a part of Luke's because then we're putting too much on like this brand and we don't want to risk it. So we said it would be something, another project on the side, test it out, see how it goes. But we're not sure yet. I think seltzers are really going to start growing in Quebec. I saw on social media a few other microbreweries are trying it out around us and they're seeing if they can dive into it, which is really good. And I think there's a market for it. I think it's going to grow really quickly.
I have a feeling that you guys are going to call it school.
School. We actually have a name for it already, but I will not tell you.
Okay, okay. You know, I was trying maybe to be smart, but it didn't work out. So tell me, I know you, COVID-19 has been a year and a half now, almost a year and a half.
Yes.
How much has your business changed? For people that don't understand the Quebec market, you know, how much has, you know, you guys went online, you guys did a lot of stuff, you guys have to prepare a lot of stuff, but if you can give me like a roundup of how much your business has changed and for you guys.
So I don't want to be over dramatic, but it drastically changed. Like it changed a lot. So when COVID first hit us, like, again, we're very young. We're a young company. We started not too long ago. We just started like picking up. People started to recognize us. People started coming into the tap room pre-COVID. And then COVID hit us and it was a bit of a shock. We didn't really know where we were heading. We weren't sure. But the one thing we knew is that the alcohol business is something that won't die. Like people just love to drink. Like it's a known fact during recession, tobacco and alcohol don't stop. Like it's something that keeps moving. So we kind of slowed down on production just because it was like an unsure situation. And it wasn't just for us. It was a lot of like our retailers, but then our retailers started picking up again when the like full lockdown ended. So at some point lockdown was like lifted. It was around last summer, summer 2020, people started going to parks again, buying more beer. So that helped us pick up. And like our tap room opened up, people were allowed to come to the brewery itself. And then lockdown happened again in, it was around September, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess, yeah.
It was around September and it happened again. And we're like, what the hell is this? Like, what are we going to do? Like, again, this is going on. The second lockdown actually hit us harder than the first one. The reason why it hit us harder is because we had gained a lot of like our restaurant clients back during summer. We like started like setting up in restaurants, started pushing that, started like going for photo shoots and really like advertising and stuff like that. And then the second lockdown came and then it just like crashed everything again. And that's when we decided to work on the original line. Okay. We said it, people right now don't want to spend because just society and like consumers in general were so like are unsure of what's going on. People didn't want to spend. Like it was just a time where no one wanted to spend, and to buy a can of beer $3.55 a mouth for $4, it's not affordable, right? So we wanted to, and that's where the original line came in place. So like let's create something that we can push to everyone and everyone can still drink. So it kind of was a timing where we were re-strategizing every week. I feel like every week we'd sit down the team and we'd be like, okay, where are we now? What are we producing? How's our product doing? We'd look into stores and then we had the curfew. The curfew killed our retail stores. Like they were telling us how their peak time for alcohol sale is between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. And then our curfew was at 8 o'clock, so 8:30. So it was just like a disaster. People couldn't go buy beer. So that, but now like since it was pushed back to 9:30, people started going to buy beer again. So it was really just adjusting and it was just frustrating and confusing. So we were always just trying to figure out like what's our next step. And then And I think we spoke about this last time. We were creating like videos, content on social media. We were pushing like, let's make cocktails with our drinks, with our beers, just to entertain people. Cause I think people were bored at home. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to entertain people. We like pushed the idea of making cocktails with our beer, and then we were showing people how to bake with our beer. So we were just trying to adapt in different ways. Thankfully now it's better. Like we have a good like flow. We have a consistency that's going on, but in general, it did change things up. It like shook up the business, you know, it like shook us up. We were hoping that we would have hired someone in like last year, and then we didn't because we just were not sure. And now we're like, okay, maybe time, you know, hopefully we're going to open soon. So it's just our strategy keeps changing. So it's interesting to see.
So does it, do you think it made you stronger? So it make you more like a more like a ninja?
I think it really helped us realize what we want, kind of thing. Okay. I think when something like this happens, it just makes you, I guess a ninja is a good like definition. It just like, you just want to fight for it, right? And it just showed us that we were ready to fight no matter what was thrown at us. So it did make us stronger, and it made the team itself stronger, because like in times like this, a lot of times you like start questioning it. You're like, are we doing the right thing? Are people still going to buy our beer? Are we still going to be able to like succeed and stuff like that? So it made us stronger because we all stayed together and we motivated each other, which is, I think, is the most important thing when you have a strong team, is to help each other and motivate each other. So that was good.
So everybody got more glued together. That's pretty much.
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell me, I know that it's very fickle, you know, what's happening right now, and things change a lot, you know, but mm-hmm. what's going to happen? Like, what's your strategy like next year? Because as we know, now that we know a little bit more about COVID-19, people are going to get vaccinated. I think Quebec was almost 71%, I think, going out second wave September. So how do you strategize your business, and what do you think is going to happen next year? Because hopefully 2012, people are going to go out, and finally people are going to go drinking. But do you really have like a couple of 2-3 plans for that? Or is one plan you go every month changing it?
So right now we're kind of looking at immediate ways of surviving. So hopefully the tap room will open, and we want to kind of push that. So bring people back in here. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people will want to stay local when it comes to like, let's say going to a bar, stuff like that. So we just want to bring people back to the brewery, but looking for like next year or next summer or whatever it is, I know that COVID is not going anywhere. It's going to be a part of our life for a bit of time. And we're just mm-hmm. going to have to learn how to adapt. And our way of adapting right now as a business is we're trying to produce something where we are, like our original line, where we're just trying to push it as much as we could to make it as affordable and accessible as possible to drink a well-crafted beer. So that's our strategy for next year, is to just keep growing our original line. Well, right now we have like this one, we're working on the Mexican lager and the IPA, and just focus on that and just hopefully just grow our production. Just be able to grow our production for next summer for us to be really as accessible as possible and just make good beer for people. It's really our goal right now, is just to be able to make good beer, make it as accessible as possible.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just want to tell people, if you ever get to Lux or school, whatever, you can go check their porter is very good. And the one you have, I guess the Asian one,
the Japanese lager.
Japanese lager is very great if you guys want to drink something during the summer. And hopefully see you soon.
Yes, hopefully I'll see you soon, and hopefully without this entire pandemic going on.
I know. We one day is going to happen. Don't worry, man. People are getting vaccinated. It's all good. Well, thank you very much, and say hi to everybody at the team.
Thank you. I will. It was nice talking to you.
Thank you for listening to BBQ, the Business of Beer in Quebec. If you're interested to know more about the Quebec's beer market, you can subscribe to our newsletter where you can find information, interviews, and much more. If you have any questions on how to enter the Quebec market or much more, you can contact me directly on the website. Thank you and have a great week.